Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 4th of October, recording at 10:20 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Well, there's only one big one here, and that's the action on Wall Street. So I'm going to jump right in with this and just say that Wall Street, as you may realize, you'll certainly see from the charts that I posted in comment of the day, saw quite a reversal in here today. Market started off on the upside, moderate gains, and there was a lot of talk about how the oil price was heading lower, and perhaps it is, but paradoxically, shortly thereafter, oil price jitters, interest rate jitters, well, you name it. There are probably a fair number of other factors out there, not to mention some of the complacency that we've seen, caused Wall Street to close off rather sharply here. The Dow down 94, that was 0.9 of 1%. The NASDAQ down 0.75 of 1%, down 16. The S&P 500 down 1% at 12 and a quarter. Now, these are not heavy setbacks, but they do qualify as certainly moderate-sized downward dynamics. There is also a small downside key on the NASDAQ Composite Index. But it occurs at what I feel is a relatively nervous time in the markets, and I think there's been a lot of bravado really to calm people's nerves. I referred to the complacency a moment ago, and well, look at the two reports that I posted here today from in terms of people assessing. One was on the UK FTSE index, and the other of a more general, comment. So, this has occurred also. Wall Street's soft performance. You know, it's been underperforming all year long, as you know. And to me, that's classic evidence of the secular bear market that I've been talking about, because it's occurring at a time when other stock markets have been, for the most part, running riot on the upside. Now, some of those are looking dangerously overstretched in terms of the Wall Street leash effect that I've talked about so many times. And as I said in my comment of the day, that if we start where I reviewed these three U.S. indices that I've just mentioned, if we see the August lows taken out again, that won't be game, set, and match, but it will add to pressure as far as nerves are concerned. And you will have certainly, if you've been listening regularly and reading regularly, you'll know that I've been a little twitchy here recently. Call it wall of fear stuff, but there's a little bit too much that I find unnerving. Certainly, it was a matter of time before the high oil prices had took some kind of toll of stock markets. And then we've also seen a deterioration in a number of bond markets. People go on talking about how well European bonds have done, and indeed they have, and that's been all along. That's looked like the one holdout area. I'm talking about long-dated government bonds now. But if you look at Australian long-dated government bonds, Japanese long-dated government bonds, and if you look at, in particular, U.S. government bonds, those, look at the bond prices, they are conforming to what I've said were these very long-term ranging churning time and size top formation developments following the highs for just about all but the gilts. I beg your pardon. Just about all but for the bunds in June of 2003. So that's a negative for global stock markets generally. Although no doubt, if Wall Street and other stock markets start to or follow through on the downside in coming days or weeks, then we would see bond markets steady up again, but all within that gradual ranging topping out process, which I think is at a fairly late stage development for government bonds, and conversely the ranging bottoming out base formation characteristics for the long-dated government bond yields. And then consider all these 50-year bonds that people are floating in here. The UK floated a government bond at 4.25. Now, 50 years, are we really thinking that inflation is going to be staying under 4.25% for the next 50 years or so? To me, that these 50-year bonds at these interest rate levels represent ridiculous investments. And if the yields are so attractive in terms from an investment perspective, why would they be issuing 50-year bonds? They'd be issuing much shorter term bonds. Okay. Now, so how do we play it here in terms of these stock markets? Well, where you have speculative exposure, I think you do want to be running with trailing stops. I've got a fairly snug one in my Nikkei position. May get shaken out tomorrow. I think it had about 200 points. It was about 200 points below the close to lock in most of my profit in that trade. If any market's going to shrug this off, though, it may well be Japan, which has been in such good form. As far as most of the stock markets around the world are concerned, you could say, I will say, that it would hardly be surprising if we saw a pullback in consolidation in line with recent strength. But what concerns me is that some of those huge upward moves that we have seen, a number of Indian rope tricks, and not just in India, as you know, some of those emerging markets have just gone ballistic on the upside. South American markets, Eastern European markets, Middle Eastern markets, and those moves are certainly unsustainable beyond the short or at best medium term. And here I would shorten my definition of medium term to a few months. So again, I go back to the Wall Street leash effect. If Wall Street is going to go back down and pressure or take out some support levels within this year's trading ranges, that could lead to, almost invariably would lead to, some very sharp reactions in other stock markets. So be careful in here. Now, lastly, just psychologically, all these bullish comments that you've been seeing, it's typical of market sentiment to improve as markets move higher. But we're getting analysts raising forecasts for the year in all but Wall Street, really, just because the old target has been fulfilled. So in other words, we're more bullish because it's gone up. And as I said, yesterday's comment of the day, that every new high, by definition, can only take markets closer to the next significant high. And therefore, we want to be a bit careful. And here's not a great time to be putting new money in the market. Let's see what happens. Maybe Wall Street recovers its nerves tomorrow, and then we just see a short-term pause, more ranging, and let alone if Wall Street starts to move higher, as people have been asking me recently, if it was about to do that. And I don't see any clear evidence that it is. But more importantly, I've been concerned about the August lows and as the initial support level, and that would ring an alarm bell or two, certainly for me, if we saw those August lows taken out for more than a day or two. Okay, so I'm running nervous here as far as stock markets are concerned. I haven't sold anything anything in here yet, but again, I'm going to keep an awfully close eye on the charts. Now, the government bonds, I maintain that they're short on any decent rally. We've seen a sell-off recently, so I don't think this is a great time to short them, and I've already mentioned that they could bounce up here if we get some follow-through selling on Wall Street and other markets during the next few days. In terms of currencies, well, the dollar held its gains pretty well. You know, it had a good upside day yesterday, and didn't see any follow-through today, but that's hardly surprising. We've got the euro back down to its lows. We've got the converse of that, more or less. We've got the dollar index back up in that just over that 90 level, which is an important resistance level. So we've had a pause here. But as I've said, we need to see a very clear downward dynamic by the dollar to trigger a wave of profit taking in terms of those who've been long recently, and to entice people to come back in and short the US dollar. And I think as with any trend, even though it's up near resistance levels, which are certainly not going to be overcome easily in my view, one needs the signal to indicate that the resistance is held. In other words, we need the downward dynamic to indicate that the resistance is going to hold, and that we're going to get a move back down to retest support levels established about 5 weeks or so ago for the US dollar. Now, meanwhile, what would be the implications if we were to see a general sell-off in stock markets, even if it was just a temporary sell-off, just a correction? Well, I think that given the gains that we have seen recently, that could spill over, would probably spill over into some other markets that have done pretty well recently. And that might include the precious metals sector, not because there's any direct link there, but just because people would start to nail down some profits where they've had good runs. And I know in my portfolio, and to my relief, I had some very good runs recently. And you know, when it's that easy to make money, you begin to think, is this just an exceptionally good environment here? And you know, it's not it's not sustainable, at least not at that pace. So. But this big difference between Wall Street, secular bear market, and, say, precious metals, secular bull market, which is still in its early days as far as I'm concerned. And just have a look at all those charts of gold. You may be sick of gold, some of you, I know, and undoubtedly some of you are sick of gold. But I just think the educational value for me, so I commend it to you, of looking at those, looking at gold on those long-term monthly charts, quarterly charts, that I posted in 26 different currencies. To me, again, as I've said in the comment, those charts speak volumes as far as I'm concerned. Oil got clipped in here today, down a couple of dollars. Crude at $63.94. Now it is testing a previous range lows that we've seen over the last few weeks, and I wouldn't find it too hard to envisage it actually breaking down out of that level. I think we'll get some speculative money coming out of oil. Again, you know, I've said that those gains, well, this is a secular bull market and there's a clear overall upward trend. I've said that rallies to new highs would be difficult to maintain in the short term because we don't have backwardations. And we have contangos indicating that there isn't really a shortage. So I think all this talk of less fuel consumption, and you've got the Bush administration urging Americans to consume less energy, and no doubt we're getting similar comments coming out of other countries. And the U.S. is talking about releasing more from the strategic petroleum reserves. And that's certainly enough to cause speculators to say, well, let's step aside in this commodity for the time being. So you can get a sort of a rolling effect as people pull out of things that have done pretty well recently. So I can, I'm not going to predict it, but I'm looking at oil coming back down to a support level of the last few weeks and looking just a tad toppy in the short term. So I can see, without too much difficulty, I can imagine rather an additional counter trend reaction. I certainly don't think we're going to get any kind of big blowout in the oil price anytime soon, and I still maintain that the big surprises will be on the upside again. Secular bull market, as I've already mentioned, in the precious metals, all of the industrial commodities remain in secular bull markets. And that's it, folks. Another long day for me. Hope you find the coverage useful. All the best.